Hey everyone, welcome back to Intuitive Conversations with Tamara and Chantel. I'm Chantel Neufeld.
I'm Tamara France.
What are we talking about today?
We are discussing the question, what are you excited about?
Yay!
Globally and in your life? So we're just going to have a chat and see where it goes.
That reminds me of Sonia Choquette when she talks about calling your spirit back into your body by listing the things you love.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you're in a mood, that's one of the things, besides putting on music, that you can do is just make a list of everything that you love, and pretty soon your mood isn't so bad.
Okay, so then what are you excited about?
Oh my goodness. I am excited about human design and astrology and readings and just finding out that I'm not a bad person. What were we were joking about before, like if in doubt, blame the planets. It's just a joke, but I'm just really excited to know more about myself and my personality. And when I can understand myself better, then I don't know, it just helps me relate to other people and helps me to love myself and not have that negative voice in the back of my head going, why did you do that? It's more of like, okay, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the more compassionate voice.
Yeah. Well, I have to say for me too. We did not plan this, but I have been doing a deep dive into astrology for the last probably 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it is tremendously empowering, right? Mm-hmm. To have confirmed the things that you intuitively know about yourself, to be given permission to
be yourself,
claim your strengths.
Yeah.
Right. It is very empowering. And it's not that it's not, you know, people have this fatalistic idea of astrology is the planets make you do things. But metaphysically, the saying is, as above, so below. The in is the same as the without. And so it's the correspondence, right? By being able to understand what the planets are telling us about our lives, not that they're making or arranging our lives or anything like that. It's the energetic forecast or the energetic blueprint. And we can become more masterful about how we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that is,
there's this one lady on Instagram that I follow, and I always listen to my Cancer reading, where she does a weekend reading and a weekly reading, and it's always just so spot on and so helpful to navigate the stuff that I'm going through. You and I are both Cancers.
Yeah,
so.
Cancer Sun. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And also every week or so I meet with this group of hypnotherapists online, and we're doing like a yearly study, and we're going through each of the signs and just diving in and seeing like where our planets are in different things. And it's helped me not only understand myself, but understand the people that I love. And
yeah,
that is like, yeah, so valuable.
I just want to put in a plug maybe for anyone out there who, because we tend to have a skewed understanding of what astrology is from the newspaper and the horoscope, which focuses only on your sun sign.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much more to us than our sun sign. And depending whether you were born in the daytime or at night, your sun sign, you may not identify with it as closely as your moon sign. And so there are many, many layers that go into understanding your astrology chart. And, you know, if you're interested, we can maybe put in the notes some people to follow where you can get a much better understanding than some of the pop astrology that's out there that can be misleading. And some people still have a very fatalistic view. So, yes. Not all astrologies are the same.
No, like just not all therapists are the same, and no, not all astrologists are the same. And your readings for me have been very helpful. I especially, like you asked, like when you were doing your studies, like if I could be like the guinea pig and like, is there something that I wanted to focus on? And I said relationships. And so like you kind of combined the charts of me and several different people. And it was just so like eye-opening and helpful to be like, oh, that's why that. Oh, I can navigate that way. That's why I'm not understood. Oh, that's why they're not, you know, like.
Yeah.
Just,
well, like I say, tremendously empowering, right? Because even something as simple as the elements, right? In our zodiac sign, we have 12 signs. three of the signs are in each element, air, fire, water, earth, right? So as soon as you start looking at the people in your life and finding out where the predominance is, right? Does this person have more sort of an emphasis on air signs, or is this other person more of a water person? And
explain a little bit what that means. Like, to me, a water person is more like flowy and like they're not so structured and analytical. They're more like
so the water,
ideas,
and, intuitive,
right? Yeah.
Emotional intelligence, those kinds of things, imaginative and creative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all were created in water, right? In the womb, we all floated in water for 9 months. The water signs are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. So for people that have a strong emphasis of planets in those signs, they're going to have a lot of watery energy. And those people really need to take care of their emotional lives. And they will be very intuitive about the people around them. They have a softer energy. Whereas somebody with a lot of fire signs,
they're
Aries,
a fiery person.
Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, you know, fiery energy, enthusiastic, you know, optimistic, leadership. These people tend to stand out and be comfortable in the spotlight and those kinds of things. And so, you know, you start actually feeling into, just when you're around people, you can start feeling into their energy, and just from the way they behave and the way they communicate, oh, I bet this person is got a lot of air, you know, intellectual, sociable, very communicative air signs, quick thinking, witty, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Sometimes
and then you,
not on time, or just very like ideas are just out there.
Yeah.
Just, a little this, a little
yeah.
that, a little that.
Like, but the real blessing is that you stop expecting things from people that are not natural for them,
yeah.
right? And you start forgiving yourself. I have a lot of water energy in my chart. I have very little earth.
What is energy. Earth energy? Explain that.
Earth signs would be Taurus and Virgo and Capricorn. And so there's a lot of practicality, a lot of, you know, working with the concrete details. These are the people who get things done.
Routines.
Yes.
Like they're.
That's very Virgo.
Yeah. And very
energy.
Taurus.
Yeah. Right. And so if you struggle with, you know, sort of moving forward with projects and things, right, you can get really down on yourself. Oh, I procrastinate. Oh, I find it really hard unless I have someone working with me, because as a water sign, I'm very relational. You know, those kinds of things. You start learning how you can work with not just your strengths, but also the areas where you haven't felt strong, where you've done a lot of shoulding on yourself. Oh, I should be able to do this. I should be like everyone else. You maybe start understanding why you feel different in your family, because maybe you have siblings that all have, you know, a concentration of earth or air, and you're this, you know, emotional water sign over here. It's really helpful, like just even on that very basic level of elements, to start understanding. And for me, that is probably the prime reason I was drawn to astrology, is I want to understand myself and others better, to know how to communicate and work with other people better, and how to navigate my life, you know, more intentionally.
Did you ever watch that movie called Elemental? Like,
I think
where it has like a water
yeah,
person.
Yeah, I'm
and
trying
the
to
fire
remember.
Person.
I remember seeing the trailers for it. I'm just not.
When you were explaining the fire and water signs, and
yeah.
I was thinking about those.
Yeah.
Visuals. But it's good for kids to understand too. Like, I think it's a very helpful way. Just like the inside out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's made by the same people.
Pixar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes. So that's the deep dive that we've both been taking, I guess, in our various different ways.
And like, Human Design has a lot of astrology stuff in it too. It's just a different lens, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How would you explain it?
I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
All I know is what I've heard from you. So
it's like a language, right? So like, I understand the Human Design language, and she understands the astrology language, and we kind of like try to understand the other one, but it's.
So Human Design, as I understand it, draws in a few different modalities, like astrology, and you said Tao Te Ching, no, what's the Chinese,
I'm drawing a blank too.
Okay.
I just know how much
But
it's
it
helped
sort of
me. Yeah.
integrates a bunch
A
of
lot
these
of different
different
things, yeah.
systems of understanding our makeup.
And both
And
things are such deep dives that we could never finish studying them
yeah.
ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, humans are endlessly fascinating.
Yeah. Well, how it's really helped me is just to know like what my place is in the world and like how what makes me different than other people and how I'm meant to, help others or how I'm meant to like wait for an invitation instead of like
Yeah, we definitely learn how to navigate better, for sure. Yeah. When we come from a place of strength and empowerment, and rather than victimhood, and I think astrology is a really great way of getting over your victimhood. And I think even on a very large scale, so we're talking about personal astrology right now, but some of the people I follow they do the analysis of what's going on a much larger level in the world. And for example, just knowing, I mean, I knew it probably a year in advance that the United States was going to be going through a Pluto return, which is when the planet returns to the place where it was in the original chart. So the moment the US became a country, Pluto was at a certain degree, at a certain sign, and it has come all the way around again, which takes about 250-ish years. But Pluto, being the lord of the underworld, if you haven't taken care, if you haven't done your shadow work, and you haven't dealt with some of the darkness and things that have been swept under the carpet, that stuff all comes up for review. Pluto is like the composter of the zodiac. And so, in a way, there was people who are astrologers who knew this were bracing themselves, like there's going to be a reckoning. So true enough, it's
It didn't catch you off guard,
we're in the
so
thick of it. No,
it's
it's
a way
just
to
how it
make
plays
you,
out, you don't
yeah.
know. But
But in the grand scheme of things, you kind of have an idea, and I feel like that gives us a sense of security.
right. And one of the really encouraging things actually has been that Pluto, being such a far removed planet, those outer planets, because they take so long, the effects that they have are very, they're very strong and pronounced. And so Pluto shifted from Capricorn, which is the very authoritarian, top-down kind of energy, into Aquarius, which is very humanitarian. And so it's very newly in Aquarius. And so as Pluto moves through Aquarius, what can we expect? How good can it get
How are you gonna get?
in
It's
terms
probably
of
very different.
humanity as a whole taking control of its
You
destiny
gotta
and
think outside
deciding,
the box, yeah.
right? Yeah, we're done with this power over paradigm where, a few rise to the top and dominate everything.
Well, we're stepping into our own power and realizing that we don't need an outside force to tell us what to do to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We don't need religion to make us into an ethical good person. Like, we inherently are good. We inherently are sovereign. We can make good choices and, like obviously following, like sort of Ten Commandments type stuff, like the logical stuff, don't kill, don't steal, et cetera. Where we can be pretty much self-governed, like we can look for the win-win-win. What's a win for us? What's a win for the other? What's a win for the planet? And then work towards that.
And I think what's exciting to me too about that is that, again, using astrology as an example, as we bring back some of these old systems of knowledge, we are moving more toward that. It is bringing out the leadership in humanity, and that we have an opportunity now to really determine the future that we want to move towards. And despite all of the garbage that's going on, there's a lot of stuff, waste being composted, I guess, on a global level. But I have people that are waking up to wanting something higher, wanting something better, really looking into these different modalities, whether it's astrology or whether it's other different spiritual disciplines. People are ready to participate more in creating our future. That's exciting to
That
me.
is very exciting. How was astrology helpful for your trip? Like
Oh,
just
she's talking
a
about my trip to
general
Spain.
overview, not Not too detailed, but just like, did you find it helpful beforehand or afterwards or?
Well, so here's the funny thing. I did not like there's a field of astrology called electionary astrology, which is
Never
how
heard of
do I
that.
find the most fortuitous date for this thing that I want to do? People will use it for planning weddings or starting a business or those kinds of things. So there are astrologers that specialize in that. I did not look into any of that before I went on my Camino trip. I'd been wanting to do it for so long, and it just worked out that I retired at a certain date, and I did look a little bit at my chart just to make sure, because I knew that I was in a Saturn return, and Saturn can be a little bit heavy-handed, and kind of be a hindrance to things. So I just wanted to make sure that that wasn't going to be too heavy of an influence during the time that I was traveling. But other than that, I really didn't have a lot of leeway. It was only when I came back from my trip and started looking at some of the other planetary returns, my solar return, which is basically the birthday.
Your birthday, yeah, we both had birthdays while you were gone.
Yeah, and it turned out that I was in a Jupiter return through my whole trip. I had a Venus return, and Jupiter and Venus are the most benevolent, supportive planets in the whole solar system. And so that was ongoing. I had a Mercury return also on my birthday, and so all of these planets were returning, and it felt like, there was this massive sort of reset or concluding of cycles and beginning new cycles. And so that's been really interesting to look at. But I feel like just the fact that I had the support of Jupiter and Venus while I was traveling on the Camino really sort of gave me that openness to meet people and socialize and try speaking in other languages. And, I felt like I was more sociable than I usually am. I felt like a different person on the Camino, really. So it was interesting that yes, the support was there, and as above, so below. So
Did you feel like your energy got bigger, or like did you have fear like creep in at any point where you had like had to like a Pilgrim's Progress is what I'm seeing in my head. Like what did it feel like that at all at
I
times?
did have a dark night of the soul, which I may have talked about in a previous episode at one point. And in my planning of the trip, I took the main route of the Camino, which is called the Camino Francés. It starts in France, and then you immediately cross the mountains and over the border into Spain, and then across northern Spain to Santiago. But about 24 days in, my plan was to leave that Camino and go on just dip down on one that was a little bit further south, because I had read so much about the crowds at the end, and how the whole vibe changes with so many people walking those last 5 days. And I thought, oh, I think I want a more contemplative experience, more reflective. I don't want to be, walking into Santiago de Compostela with all this, partying around me and everything. So I did that. But those 3 days, well, I was on it for 4 days, but the first three I met nobody. It
Did
was
you miss the
very, very
people?
solitary, and I had formed friendships, and I had been part of, cooking together and making communal meals and hanging out with certain people for 3 or 4 days at a time. And to have that all of a sudden, just the contrast was so great. And by the fourth day, I finally on the third evening met a couple of sisters, and then we started out together the next day. But I was a faster walker, so I went ahead and kind of crisscrossed with them a few times throughout the day. But then at the end of the day, they went somewhere, I don't know where, for the night, and I went to the main albergue and was alone. And so, another evening alone. I just felt like I had ruined my Camino, that every evening was going to be, sitting alone. And those two sisters spoke only Spanish, and so, it was my limited language skills that allowed us to communicate. But it wasn't the same as if you could, really chat with a friend. And it was so lonely and sad. And I had to do some quick problem solving to figure out how to take the bus and get myself back.
You're like, I need my people.
Yes, I totally needed my people. So,
Some of the things that we think we want are not necessarily what we actually want.
Right. Yeah. And I think if I had, done some analysis of my planetary returns and just seen how much social energy there was,
So that would have maybe been a bit helpful.
it would have alerted me that this is a major theme
Yeah.
in the next 6 weeks and maybe not the best idea
But it's happened
to
to me before too, or like I think if someone's gonna make me so happy, and then it's just like
Yeah.
nope.
But the funny thing is, I would not give up those 4 days because number one, it was hugely empowering to walk 4 days in a foreign country and not speak a word of English for 4 days,
I can't imagine.
all by myself and walking in the mountains. And it was just spectacularly beautiful. I saw some things that I really was excited about seeing. But when when it came down to it, another 9 days of walking alone and
I
spending
couldn't
evenings
do
alone was just
it.
more than I could bear.
Yeah.
And the evening I got myself back onto the Camino Frances, up in the mountains in a beautiful, misty, magical town called O Sebrero, which has Celtic roots and it's very, very magical. It looks very Celtic. I was crying for joy. And at that point, I didn't care how many people were going to be surrounding me those last 5 days. I just wanted to hug everybody. And it was, it kind of doubled the joy.
When
So,
you reach the depths of despair, then the rainbows
yeah,
are brighter.
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
So, what are you excited about? I mean, finish it off with what's upcoming
what
in
is
your life or in the
upcoming?
world that you're excited about?
I'm excited about creating new things and everybody taking back their sovereignty and not giving their power over to other people. Yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
Cool.
All right. Until next time.
Keep singing your heart song.